Hello, fight fans, and welcome to the new boxing podcast, Pod for Pound, where we relive the fabulous fights and legendary nights that define the sweet science and forge lifelong fans around the globe. I'm your host, Miguel Martinez. There's this idea that good things always come in threes. Third time's the charm. Three is the magic number. And boxing is certainly no exception. The sport is defined by its legendary trilogies. Ollie Frazier, Marco Antonio Barrera versus Eric Morales, Sugar Ray Leonard versus Roberto Duran. Many of these names are even known outside the world of boxing. But there's one trilogy that perhaps deserves more recognition outside the boxing realm. Three fights that took place between May 18, 2002 and June 7, 2003. The unforgettable trilogy between Arturo Thunder Gatti and Irish Mickey Ward. The finest of their three matchups was inarguably their first. The event won Ring Magazine's coveted Fight of the Year, and its ninth round was so intense and action-packed, it was heralded as Round of the Year. But to understand what made this matchup so compelling, we first have to take a look at the two men who shared the ring. Arturo Gatti was by far the bigger name in the boxing world between the two. Known for his speed and his power, Gatti quickly became the beloved action hero of the 130-pound division. And after just 4 years as a pro,
scores the bout 116 to 111 for the winner and new champion of the world, Arturo.
He was the classic all-offense, go-forward kind of fighter that leaned more towards the hit in Hit and Don't Get Hit. And while he wasn't a particularly ardent student of the science of defense, you know one thing for sure. If Gatti's in the ring, you're in for a show.
Oh, he is down in the first round.
Gatti's got him in trouble early. Oh, is he firing away? He got him. He's down.
And through his crowd-friendly, fight-fan favorite style, he earned the famous moniker.
The winner is Arturo Thunder Gatti.
When lightning strikes, thunder closes the show. But like all great athletes, eventually time began to catch up to him. And at 30 years old, Gatti started to show signs that his offense is the best defense style was putting him on a slow decline.
Down goes Gatti on a perfect left hook. Textbook left hook by Manfredi.
Practice as De La Hoya goes to the body and the head, drives Gatti into the ropes. And the towel comes in from Gatti's corner, and De La Hoya has a fifth round TKO.
In an effort to turn the tide against Father Time, Gatti's team turned to a former world champion turned trainer, Buddy McGirt. McGirt himself was an accomplished prize fighter, but his path to the belt was slightly different than Gatti's. While Gatti made a name for himself by imposing his will over his enemies, Buddy was known for dismantling his opponents with the super slick technical style. His task? Convert Gatti from a head-first brawler to a tactical boxer-puncher. A boxer and trainer's first fight as a pair is sometimes a toss-up, particularly in the middle of a big-style change-up. But not for Gatti. Thunder bounced back from his TKO loss and easily dispatched an outmatched Terran Millet. The catch? Well, he didn't exactly have to use his new slick skills.
The legs are still all over the place. And now Gatti unloads. And nothing coming back from Millet. It's got to be stopped. He goes down again for the third time in the fight. It's over. What a win for Arturo Gatti.
Regardless, it looked like the Gatti of old was back and ready to dominate the ring once again.
This is my first time coming down at 140. It's been a long time. And my punching power is back, and on my next fight, I'll be even stronger.
But for his next opponent, the same old tricks might not work. In today's world of boxing, fighters will go to extraordinary lengths to preserve their records. And who could blame them? There are plenty of examples of modern fighters who, after losing just one fight, become the ridicule of the internet trolls and opinionated couch warriors. Arturo Gatti had 5 losses on his record, and the boxing world started to wonder if his time at the top was over. Imagine what the media would have said about a guy with 11. Mickey Ward was a true blue journeyman. Born and raised in Lowell, Massachusetts, to an Irish-American family, he was a talented fighter in his own right. A 3-time New England Golden Gloves champ who started off his professional career in 1985 with 14 straight wins. But as time passed, it became clear that Ward was not destined for the same level of stardom as Gatti. After 4 straight losses, Ward left the sport to lick his wounds. He returned to the ring after 3 years, and defying all odds, won his next 9 fights.
Follow me around. Find me.
Oh, big uppercut by Ward. I told you he was putting more mustard on the upper. Gets away from those combinations and goes for one punch. Oh, Mickey Ward has a big ace. And that's
Irish Mickey Ward.
Oh, and I should note, all while maintaining his day job as a steamroller driver for the Massachusetts Road Paving Crew. Ward was a slugger, and a fighter who displayed awesome power in the ring. While he wasn't the slickest boxer, he had one weapon that always ensured he had a shot: his devastating left hook to the body. In 1997, Ward showed off just how effective his left hook was against then-undefeated Alfonso Sanchez.
First 5 rounds of this 10-round fight. Sanchez getting in a left hand to the body.
Ward was clearly outclassed and down on points. So much so that in the 6th round, boxing legend Emmanuel Augustus, now working as a commentator for HBO Boxing, went so far as to say,
"The referee should just go ahead and stop this fight. He knows that Mickey doesn't want to be here. I wouldn't even make the crowd continue to watch this."
And frankly, who could blame him? The fight was a bit of a snooze fest, with Sanchez asserting generalship over the ring. But then, out of nowhere, in the very next round,
I'm talking about if I were. See? That's
unbelievable! Unbelievable!
Blink, and you'd have missed it. From out of nowhere, Ward threw a bomb of a left hook that made its way around Sanchez's guard and landed squarely in the region where the right side of the rib cage stops and the hip bone begins. It's the area where the liver quietly lies, blissfully unaware of the bullseye pasted on its back. Sanchez crumbled in an instant, and he was down on the canvas before the commentators could react. Any fight fan knows that if a guy's got a big punch, he's got a chance. You never count a big puncher out till the final bell. That's the kind of fighter that leaves you on the edge of your seat, eyes peeled, waiting for his shot to land. Those kinds of fighters are nerve-wracking to root against, but above all, fun to watch. And if anyone embodied that spirit of the sweet science, it was Ward. But despite his new resurgence, Ward was unable to break into the upper echelons of the boxing elite. In the 4 bouts he had with current or former world champions, he was 0-4. But in 2002, Mickey and his left hook would get another shot at boxing greatness. Arturo Gatti's and Mickey Ward's paths finally crossed in the summer of 2002. Gatti's team was looking for a matchup that would relaunch his career and bring him back into the limelight. But that would prove to be a more difficult task than expected. That is, until someone floated the idea of fighting Irish Mickey Ward. Though Ward wasn't exactly a household name, he was exciting to watch. And most importantly, he was beatable. The blueprint for beating Ward had been laid out across his 11 losses. and Buddy McGirt was just the man to prepare Gotti for the fight. McGirt laid out the fight plan plain and simple. As any fight fan will tell you, styles make fights. If Gotti could evolve into the slick boxer puncher he was now training to be, he would easily run away with the fight against the slower, albeit stronger, Ward. Irish Mickey Ward was the perfect opponent to show off the brand new tactical Arturo Thunder Gotti.
Tail of the tape now for these 240-pound fighters, and as you can see,
on fight night, both men weighed in at a previously agreed upon 141.5 pounds. A strange number, but not unheard of for bouts where a championship belt was not in play. Mickey Ward entered the ring first. Ever the proud Massachusetts man, donning a modified Red Sox jersey instead of the traditional hooded boxing robe. In a title fight, it's tradition that the challenger enter the ring first and the champion second. This was no title fight, but Gotti was undoubtedly the A-side, the bigger name.
And here comes Arturo Gotti.
He wore a sky blue robe and bounced on his feet to the sounds of AC/DC and the jeers of a Ward-sympathetic Connecticut crowd. The bout was scheduled for 10 rounds. Both men had a path to victory, a plan that would give them both the best chance to win. But of course, the best laid plans often go awry. Gotti started off the fight sticking to his game plan, firing his jab and staying light on his feet, all the while staying clear of that dangerous left hook. He used his speed to his advantage, frustrating Ward with flurry after flurry. Partway through the first round, he used Ward's own move against him, a left hook that opened a small cut just outside Ward's right eye. The blood would trickle down Ward's face throughout the fight. First blood had been drawn. Gotti had Mickey figured out. Through both rounds 1 and 2, he had thrown nearly 140 punches, while Ward had only gotten in a handful of pot shots. The plan was working. Back in his corner, McGirt told Gotti to keep up his speed and continue to box. If he kept this up, the fight was his. But whether it was due to overconfidence or being gassed after two rounds of incredibly high activity, Gotti did not heed his trainer's advice. He slowed down, and Ward's shots began to find their target.
Here comes the Lowell, Massachusetts.
Ward's path to victory was clear. Land the left hook. And with Gotti slowing down, Ward started to do just that. With 30 seconds to go in the round, both men planted their feet and began to trade shot for shot. Gotti landing uppercut after uppercut, and Ward landing hook after hook.
Listen to me, when you get inside,
leading into the fourth round, McGirt began to plead with his fighter. Don't get inside. Don't take those body shots from Ward. He didn't have to. But Gotti wouldn't listen to his trainer. The action didn't let up in round four. Ward started to redirect his shots from Gotti's torso to Gotti's face. Up to this point, Gotti was in control of the fight. But as Ward's shots found his head, Gotti's eye began to swell. And then, Ward landed a strong overhand right on the left side of Gotti's face, his head snapping around with the force of Ward's punch. For a split second, Gotti seemed out on his feet, but his arms latched onto Ward's shoulder, clinching so he wouldn't fall. Gotti had been rocked. Ward poured on the pressure, trying to capitalize on Gotti's disorientation. The round was his. But Gotti refused to be undone. With a minute to go in the round, he once again used Ward's signature left hook on him. The shot caused Ward to take a few steps back and gave Gotti the breathing room he desperately needed. But desperation has a funny way of manifesting in boxers. Gotti's left hook trended lower and lower until...
Oh, what a body shot! Oh, magnificent left to the body!
Ward crumbled to his knees, holding his hip and punching the canvas in frustration. The offending shot was a low left hook. Too low.
I thought it was a little bit low.
And Frank Cappuccino thought so too.
The referee called the shot a low blow and deducted a point from Gotti. The deduction marked a turning point in the fight. A point deduction gave Ward a two-point advantage over Gotti in the round. Even if the judges gave Gotti all three of the previous rounds, the deduction put Ward just one round behind. This fight would be close. After a low blow, the fighter is to be given 5 minutes to recover. But a miscommunication between the referee and the timekeeper meant that the bell rang and the round was over. Instead of the customary 5 minutes, Ward would only get the one allotted between rounds. While the crowd jeered at the offense, his corner was ready to plead his case. But Ward refused. "I'm all set. I want to go," he insisted. And he got up and stormed into the ring, ready for the next round. In the next few rounds, the fight turned into a slugfest. Ward started oozing blood from his eye, his nose, and his bottom lip. Gotti's left eye was angrily inflamed, and his right was cut wide open. Neither warrior yielded ground. Gotti's flurries were met with an equally ferocious barrage from Ward. There would be no respite between rounds as the brutal punches were replaced by a barrage of screams from the cornermen, screaming, pleading with their fighters to keep boxing, keep the pressure up, while their cutmen molested their faces with drug-soaked cotton swabs and ice-cold steel plates in an attempt to close their bleeding wounds and shrink their swollen faces. By round 7, McGirt seemed to have gotten through to Gotti. Gotti was nearly broken, but nowhere close to bowing. In rounds 6 and 7, he forced the fight back from a brawl towards a boxing match, the type where he was not the prince, but the king. Before round 8, McGirt praised Gotti's boxing and encouraged him to keep moving. He knew that Ward's only hope was to find and land that one big shot, the left hook. In the other corner, Ward's trainer, his half-brother Dickie, was also helping his fighter find his courage. His message to Ward was clear.
Bang the shit out of him.
And in the 8th round, that's exactly what Ward did. Gotti, clearly suffering fatigue from his work in rounds 6 and 7, started to drop his guard, urging the usurper to start laying claim to the crown. In the final seconds of the round, Ward landed another big right hand, stunning Gotti. With 10 seconds to go, Gotti stumbled backward, and Ward was all over him. He landed shot after shot on Gotti's temple as the crowd got up from their chairs, roaring with approval. Before long, Gotti had nowhere left to go but into the ropes. But time was on his side as the bell rang through the ring, rescuing Gotti from the Ward onslaught. The commentators had but one thing to say about the action thus far. By now, both fighters had endured enough punishment to raise a sinner out of purgatory. By Harold Letterman's count, Gotti had a slight lead over Ward, 76 points to 75. Still, just a single round separating them. With 2 rounds to go, it was still anyone's match. Gotti's corner was clearly worried about their fighter. True, Gotti was likely up in the cards after strong showings in the 5th and 6th round, and his good work in the first few rounds of the fight were certainly not forgotten. But the point deduction and Ward's sudden resurgence in 7 and 8 had to give them pause. Gotti was taking too many shots from his opponent. Plus, they knew that Ward at any time could end the fight with that one big shot, the lethal left hook. At the sound of the 9th bell, Mickey Ward wasted no time. Storming into the middle of the ring, he lunged at Gatti, who had no choice but to hop backwards in an attempt to flee. He hadn't yet recovered from the damage he sustained in the eighth round. And then, just 14 seconds into round 9, it happened. Team Gotti's worst fear.
As strong a fighter as Ward before.
That body shot again. That's the body shot.
It's the left hook to the body. Ward's money punch, and this knockdown counts.
Ward's famous left hook found its target right in Gotti's liver. Gotti fell to the ground, one knee on the canvas. His face was contorted into a gut-wrenching grimace as the long count continued. If you've never been punched in the liver, I pray you never have to experience it. Boxers are able to take the pain and keep moving forward. They have to. But even the bravest warriors can only endure for so long before the agony engulfs them and pushes them to the ground. Any other fighter, and the fight would have been over. But Gotti was not just any other fighter. The referee's mouth had just finished forming the number 9. When Gotti planted his glove on his knee and hoisted his body up off the canvas. He wanted to keep going. As soon as the referee gave the order to box, Ward stormed in again. The crowd, all on their feet, willing him on to finish the job. Ward increased his brutality, chasing Gotti around the ring and hitting him with shot after shot. Straight daggers to the face, large swooping uppercuts to the ribcage, thudding hooks to the jaw. Ward was hitting him with everything he had. But Gotti refused to go down. 2 minutes and 8 seconds to go in the round, Gotti strings together a short right and a stiff left jab. A small combination, but just enough to stop Ward for a second, depleted from his brutal barrage. Steeling himself, Gotti strung together another combination, and then another, and another, each with more strength than the last. 1 minute and 50 seconds to go in the round. Less than a minute after being 1 second away from being knocked out, Gotti had turned the tables on Ward. 1 minute and 15 seconds. He breaks through Ward's guard and is now backing Irish into the ropes. With a minute to go, the referee pulls the two apart as Gotti clinches Ward, having now gassed himself from his own barrage. 54 seconds. Having been reset by the referee, the two men throw a punch at the same time. Ward a dull right cross to Gotti's face, and Gotti a short left hook to Ward's ribcage. They hit at the same time. Gotti pauses, stunned, as Ward throws a left jab, followed by a stiff right. This combination does more damage, as Gotti suddenly seems out on his feet. 45 seconds. Ward pours on the punishment, pushing Gotti back into the ropes. Gotti's unable to raise his arms to block, and instead takes every single shot thrown by Ward. With 30 seconds to go in the fight, veteran commentator Jim Lampley yells the words that will be remembered by every fight fan that tuned into Boxing After Dark that night.
Stop it, Frank! You can stop it anytime!
For better or worse, Frank Cappuccino let the fight go on. In just 3 minutes, the crowd had seen a brutal knockdown, an incredible comeback, and a tide that shifted back and forth. In that round, the two had landed 110 shots on each other, the vast majority power shots. In a single round, Thunder and Irish delivered more action and more drama than most boxers would deliver in a full fight. Jim Lampley, years later, when asked about that moment, that magical round 9, had this to say.
You know, every once in a while, somewhere in my life, someone will ask me, what's the greatest fight you've ever called, or what's the greatest round you've ever called or what's the greatest thing you've ever seen in boxing? And the answer is Gatti Ward 1, round 9. I think that'll always be the answer.
One round left. The drama was not yet over. The bell rang to signal the start of round 10. But both fighters' cornermen were still in the ring. Ward and his team saw this and thought that Gatti's team had thrown in the towel. Ward walked into the middle of the ring, arms raised, as if he had won.
It's not. Oh, low, low. Fight ain't over. Fight ain't over now. Last round. The back in the corner.
The fight was to continue for one more round. Both fighters knew how close the fight was. Both fighters knew there was only one way to ensure victory. Both fighters needed a knockout. Ward, bleeding from his right eye, and Gatti with his left swollen shut, sauntered into the middle of the ring, touched gloves, and once more resumed their battle. Gatti started the round strong, but Ward throughout matched each shot. Both men were clearly exhausted. Each shot was thrown with urgency. With 20 seconds to go in the fight, both fighters swung at each other like they were fighting the last few seconds of the last round of the final match of their lives.
Arturo Gatti, Irish Mickey Ward, two of the most honest fighters in the sport of boxing, circa 2002. A fight straight out of the 1950s, a throwback to the golden era of the ring.
Even before the final bell sounded, the audience bolted to their feet, roaring loudly like the mob in the Roman Colosseum, expressing their ultimate satisfaction after bearing witness to two valiant gladiators, offering all they had, fighting to the death. The two men embraced. Their tribulation ended. Now, the decision went to the scorecards. The three judges would have to take everything into account. Gatti's strong start, the low blow, the knockdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a majority decision. Judge Frank Lombardi scores the bout 94-94, a draw. Judge Richard Flaherty scores it 94-93. Judge Steve Weisfeld sees it 95-93. All to the winner by majority decision, Irish Mickey Ward.
Ward had finally done it. On this night, under the bright lights of the Mohegan Sun Arena, he could finally raise his arms in victory. He had proved his mettle against boxing elite. Yes, the judges had to choose a victor among these two gladiators, but the crowd had already rendered its judgment long before the announcement, an enthusiastic thumbs up. It mattered not to whom the laurels were offered. But with the crowd's approval comes an implicit demand. The mob wanted more. Thunder and Irish fought again. Not once, but twice. Gatti would avenge his loss both times, in two rematches that inexplicably almost matched the drama and brutality of their first. Their third and final fight took place in 2003. Another wild fight, and another Ring Magazine Fight of the Year. They say lightning never strikes in the same place twice. Thunder and Irish proved them wrong. That's all for today's episode. If you enjoyed hearing the story about Gatti and Ward, remember to subscribe and share this episode with your friends. For more, you can find us on Instagram at @PodForPound. Is this your first time experiencing this chapter of the Gatti Ward trilogy? Or do you remember watching Thunder and Irish in the ring? Whether you're new to the sport or a lifelong fan, I'd love to hear about your experience and relationship with the world of boxing in the comments. If you haven't seen the fight, I highly recommend searching it up and seeing the action yourself. This podcast combines research from articles from Ring Magazine, Sports Illustrated, HBO, and more. All also worth checking out. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time here on Pod for Pound.